Greetings, fellow conspirators. Gardner Goldsmith here with you. LG Grande with Liberty Conspiracy Audio is the adjunct to the Liberty Conspiracy Radio program. You can find our website at libertyconspiracy.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Of course, it's Liberty Conspiracy over there. I'm opening with a very quick introduction to let you know about this podcast and to tell you about the music that you're hearing. I'm very pleased to introduce this music and hopefully to entice you to look for this. This is the new project just out. I helped fund this through a funding website. It is from John Ashton, one of the two original guitarists for the Psychedelic Furs. It's his project called Satellite Paradiso, and the song is called Touch the Sky. This tune features three of the original members of the Psychedelic Furs: John Ashton, of course, Roger Morris, the other guitarist, and Duncan Kilbourne, the sax player, as well as Amanda Kramer, who plays keyboards for the Psychedelic Furs and has done so for quite a while. The album features Cheetah Chrome, if you know the Dead Boys, and all sorts of other amazing musicians. Look up Satellite Paradiso and order a disc. I'm not going to play all of this because I promise that I'm not going to share this music. It was the request of John Ashton. This is a great, great record, and it's absolutely, if it reminds you of the original Psychedelic Furs sound, there's a reason. Duncan Kilbourne's in there on the sax, and Mars Williams also, the later Psychedelic Furs sax player, is in there. This show is taken from our 5/25/14 program, May 25th, and it features a discussion on the NDAA and the reauthorization of the National Defense Authorization Act, snuck in right before everybody took off for Memorial Day weekend. And we go into some of the substance of it that is extremely dangerous to your rights and continues to be a threat to all Americans and non-Americans when it comes to being detained without any evidence being brought against you. Also, we talk about how reporters can get it wrong, and often do, when they talk about economics and when they discuss inflation. They don't understand what the term inflation really means. Inflation is an expansion of the money supply. The price increases that they often use the term inflation to describe are price increases. The inflation of the money supply is really what you want to use the term inflation to describe. So we get into that, and we talk about how higher prices for beef and other meat products are being blamed on a drought in California, when if you actually look at the numbers, that is extremely unlikely. So I hope you like the show. I'll play a little more of this music. This is an amazing song. It's at the end of the disc. And again, remember, it's Satellite Paradiso. You can find that online. It was from Pledge Music originally. The pledge time is over, but you can still buy the album. There's an official website for Satellite Paradiso. I hope you'll look for it. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Pleased to have you here. I hope you'll visit our website. And, of course, if you want to contact me, it's Gard Goldsmith on Twitter. We've got a lot going on. We'll talk to you about the campaign and stuff later. But here's a little more music, and we'll go right into the show. Thank you very much for listening. Support freedom. Spread the word about us and some of the things we're starting to do on YouTube as well. There's a lot that's going to be coming from us. Take care. Be seeing you. Congratulations, John Ashton, and everyone involved. Well, the party starts again at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Welcome to the program tonight, wherever you are, whatever time zone you call home. Buenos, whatever. LG Grande here with you. I hope you'll visit us at libertyconspiracy.com. Also, the Liberty Conspiracy Facebook page, of course. If you want to contact me, there are a number of ways to do so. You can get the information out to the other folks who are in the conspiracy who are either listening to us live at lrn.fm or on one of the affiliates, or you can get the message out to the people who listen to our podcasts. The podcasts can be found at Podomatic and at iTunes. I got a message over on Facebook. I have to respond to that as to whether or not they were available on this other particular platform. I'll try to expand to that as well. Lots of work going on, my friends. Yes, indeed. And lots of work from the folks who have contacted me to help get me informed about a number of the things that have been happening that might be pertinent or interesting to people who are interested in freedom, in free market economics, and how people's lives are improved through voluntary associations and how they are generally either held back or retarded through government coercion. You can contact me via email at libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com. Skype line is Gardner.Goldsmith on Skype, and over on Twitter it's Gard Goldsmith. That's me. Okay, time for us to get started. We're going to give you a news update, and then in about 23 minutes we'll be joined by editor R.J. Cavender. You probably have heard R.J. on the program if you listen to our podcast or if you listen to the Horror Library radio podcast that I have done for his company, Cutting Block Press. And now he's just expanded in so many different ways. He's going to be talking to us about the recent Bram Stoker Awards, in which a person he helped edit, a book that he edited, actually won for Best First Novel, Rena Mason's novel. We'll talk to him about that, the role of editing writing and how that all works, and you know, different things that appeal to him, what he notices is important to try to help a writer really get that story just right. It's going to be really interesting. And we'll talk to him about something that's coming up in the fall that he has set up along with Dark Regions Press, I believe. Yes, it's the... Oh, it's going to be cool. The Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat. We're talking The Shining this fall. Very, very cool. So we'll talk to R.J. Cavender all about that, and then we'll open up the Skype line to you. It's Gardner.Goldsmith on Skype. Time to get into the news. We have a theme.
A public service announcement.
It is.
With guitar.
Since we're talking about freedom... Maybe know your rights, right?
Number one. You have the right not to be killed. Murder is a crime. Flesh was done by a police man.
Oh, man. All right, very quickly, let's go through some of the stories. In fact, very rapidly, I'll tell you one of the stories about police and about your rights. This one is over at my personal Facebook page, and I want to thank some of the folks who responded to this one. It's a great example of the doublespeak of the government. Yeah, your right to your possessions and your home to be free of invasion... and free of invasion from the arbitrary whim of agents of the state. What's happening? Well, this is a good one, and it comes to us from Cockblock. Let's see. Yep, it's Cockblock's photo that I think is just terrific. Great information. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office announced they will be starting Operation Ceasefire, which includes going to 18,000 homes in the area without warrants, looking for guns and drugs. That's in Jacksonville, Florida. Very exciting. My friend Michael said they'll be knocking on doors, and he shows one of these door opener things that they slam battering rams that they slam down the doors with. David mentioned, he goes, I doubt there will be much knocking on doors and more crashing doors down. Yeah, well, I think they'll probably ask people if they can enter first, in some cases, right? And then they'll just go in. But who knows? They might bust doors down if people don't want them inside. Tracy said, can't the residents claim stand your ground and shoot anyone that invades their home and possesses a threat to their civil liberties? And I responded, that's the way it's supposed to work, Tracy. But, yes, we all know you're not going to have a great deal of success if you try to defend your home against unwarranted searches and seizures, because you'll end up dead. Or they'll arrest you and the state will say, oh, well, they had probable cause. And in court, they'll find that the police were perfectly justified to go on in there and, you know, kill you or other people. If you happen to survive, then maybe other people destroy your property, hurt you, break your jaw, that sort of stuff. Now, there is something else that I think is extremely important, and it goes towards one of the things that I recently wrote about drone strikes and the non-declaration of war, the destruction of civil liberties in the United States. Those of you who took off early Friday afternoon, and this seems to happen in the Obama White House and the Bush White House and pretty much every White House that I can think of for the past few decades, but particularly recently in the Obama White House, just prior to a holiday weekend or a stretch of days that would be considered to be a holiday, they suddenly either pass something or the president signs something that will get very little attention because everybody's on their way out. And guess what? That's right. On Friday afternoon, the Congress reaffirmed the NDAA and that wonderful aspect of it, the indefinite detention of Americans. Oh, yes, indeedy. I will give you this information via David Knight of InfoWars fame, the InfoWarrior channel. David Knight did some great news the other day. This happened on the 23rd, I believe, 22nd or 23rd, 23rd. And just as everybody was taken off, they passed this. And what interests me is David Knight introduces this by talking about something that happened in Thailand. And they had a military coup there, if you're unaware of what happened. And they're detaining people. Check this one out.
They had a military coup in Thailand. Look at this headline from The Guardian. Thai military detains politicians and activists. You want to know what this is going to look like when it comes to America? Take a look at what happened in Thailand. Thailand's military has detained more than 150 politicians and activists and banned them from leaving the country. It was unclear what the army's summons entailed, as media were not allowed inside the base. They told these politicians, the prime minister, the ex-prime minister, the cabinet, and many others, both pro-government and anti-government, report to a military base. That's what it's going to look like. We've said this over and over again. Alex has said the first people up against the wall are going to be people that they perceive to be competitors to them when they seize power. Mm-hmm. So if we have an executive who becomes a dictatorship, or if we have the military that does a military coup, either way, we are treading on some very dangerous ground here.
Correct. Now, check this out. Here's the latest.
It says that they have restricted these people from the military bases. They were still did not know where their whereabouts were, and they are being detained indefinitely. Does that sound familiar? Guess what? Yesterday, they reauthorized the NDAA with its indefinite provision plans, with the fact that the military can arrest American citizens on American soil whenever they wish, essentially. Now, of course, the executive that signed that, Obama, said he was not going to use that. And yet we see that Obama and the Republican House continue to pass these provisions. What does that tell us? It tells us that this is not just coming from Obama. This is something the Republicans want very badly as well.
Absolutely right. And we know that Obama's attorneys worked on that aspect of the provision, along with none other than the senator from New Hampshire on the GOP side, Kelly Ayotte. Wonderful. Or at least her staff. So, folks, I wanted to make sure that you were aware of this in case you were out and about, if you didn't have, you know, access to any of the pro-freedom websites as you were traveling or whatever. This thing deserves a lot more attention. It requires those of us who believe in the freedom of our neighbor to be left alone if he is engaged in peaceful conversation, if he engaged in peaceful commerce or activities, he should be left alone. There is more to this NDAA thing coming up. We'll tell you more about this when we return at Liberty Conspiracy Radio.
Back in school, used to duck and cover.
We roll along at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, LG Grande, Buenos, whatever. Just a few minutes away from being joined by my friend R.J. Cavender, talking about writing, getting a little bit away from politics and so on, some exciting stuff that's been happening for our friend R.J. and some of the people with whom he works, and some really neat, neat projects that he has coming up. We'll tell you about those in a little while. I want to continue discussing this information about the passage of the NDAA. There's a lot more in the news we're going to give you. In fact, if you didn't already hear about this meeting between Russian ministers, Chinese ministers, and so on, they met in Iran to talk about getting away from the U.S. dollar. Some information coming out just recently. That was back at the end of April, by the way, but there's an upcoming meeting in China between Putin and Chinese officials. It's happening in Beijing on the 28th. But also some very, very disturbing and I think revealing information about the consumer price index. Well, actually, not even the consumer price index, just the price of meat. I don't eat a lot of meat anymore, but it is indicative of something. And by the way, the prices of food and gasoline are not included in the consumer price index anymore. The government pulled those data units out because they are extremely indicative of higher prices due to an inflated money supply. I'll tell you about some of the dumb claims made by reporters about the price of beef and why it's going up and why these reporters are incorrect and what is the more likely culprit. Talk to you about that in the next hour. Going back to this NDAA issue, as I mentioned, just as everybody was taking off and getting away from what at least the White House people think is the media, but they don't seem to catch on that there is a lot of online connection that has occurred between people who believe in freedom. The Congress passed the NDAA reauthorization, which again includes a provision that the president claims he will not exercise, and yet he had his lawyers work with people from people like Senator Kelly Ayotte's office to include the provision to indefinitely hold American citizens without any habeas corpus. Now, what is habeas corpus? If you just joined the program and you're not familiar with habeas corpus is Latin for the body of evidence, and you know, the body, essentially. They're supposed to show the evidence against you in a court. They can't hold you indefinitely without any charges being brought against you. And in the Constitution, the writ of habeas corpus is a privilege. It's not considered a right. However, and it, believe me, I'm beyond the Constitution. I'm an anarchist. But if they're going to play by those rules or tell you they're going to play by those rules, they should at least acknowledge them. And people who are voting for the senators and congressmen and things like that should also be aware of these and see whether or not the congressmen and senators are conforming to their oath to uphold the Constitution. The Congress can lift the writ of habeas corpus during times of insurrection and rebellion. Okay? Now, there has been no insurrection or rebellion that has been noted by the Congress people. They have not lifted the writ of habeas corpus. If they do it, it is a universal lifting of the writ, which means that anyone arrested can be held without any sort of charge being brought against him. But they have to officially lift the writ of habeas corpus and cite the reason, insurrection or rebellion. They haven't done that. In the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, and they keep reauthorizing it, they've done it for the past 3 years, the Obama administration, working with congressional and senatorial lawyers, got this provision slipped into it that allows the executive branch to hold anyone that they suspect of giving material assistance to a terrorist. And that includes lawyers. That includes journalists. That includes average citizens. And they have not lifted the writ of habeas corpus officially, just like they have not officially declared war, which is unconstitutional. And yet, on this Memorial Day, I hate to cause friction between us and our heroes, but those guys who go out thinking they're doing a good thing to defend the United States against foreign aggressors, A, don't seem to understand the very reasons that the aggressors have given for their aggressive acts, which they have overtly stated over and over again. American meddling in the Middle East. American aggression in the Middle East. Drone attacks in the Middle East. 2,400 people killed without trial over the past 5 years under the Obama administration. No trial. Children, women, people at wedding parties. Boom! So, now they've got this provision. It's still in there. And it doesn't seem like people are paying much attention to it. But there's more to it than that. Very quickly, on the Daily Poll, posted back when the Congress was originally talking about this, they have this. Section 1071A of this authorizes the Secretary of Defense to establish a center to be known as the Conflict Records Research Center. More money, more breaching of your Fourth Amendment rights. According to the text of the latest version of the NDAA, the center's task would be to compile a digital research database, including translations, and to facilitate research and analysis of records captured from countries, organizations, and individuals now or once hostile to the United States. Now, that sounds okay, but it's not. It's got a very dark underbelly. As they write here, in order to accomplish the center's purpose, the Secretary of Defense will create an information exchange in cooperation with the Director of National Intelligence. Key to the functioning of this information exchange will be the collection of, quote, captured records. Section 1071G, subparagraph 1, defines a captured record as a document, audio file, video file, or other material captured during combat operations from countries, organizations, or individuals now or once hostile to the United States. When read in conjunction with the provision of the AUMF that left the War on Terror open-ended, and the prior NDAA's classification of the United States as a battleground in that unconstitutional war, and you have a powerful combination that can knock out the entire Bill of Rights. The First Amendment, gone. Second Amendment, gone. Third, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, gone. People involved with this, Mitch McConnell, of course, Harry Reid on the Senate side. Amazing. So this is extremely important. And by the way, the AUMF is the authorization to use military force, which they passed just after 9/11, which is not in the Constitution. There's a word in there called war. And I've mentioned this on the show. If you're new to the program, it has a capital W for a reason. It was at that time understood that there were certain rules for its operation. And the only things that the Congress can do if they want the president to lead the troops in any military fashion is they either have to declare war against an enemy or they have to issue what are called letters of mark and reprisal, which allow them to hire mercenaries which can go out and get the bad guys. That's it. Everything that has been happening since 2001 to supposedly go out and get the bad guys has been completely, blatantly, patently unauthorized by the United States Constitution, and somebody's got to mention it. They don't like it. By the way, in the future, if you mention it and they deem that this mention is somehow assisting a terrorist, you could be in some trouble. We'll return. All right, so let's talk some more about some of the issues that are out there. And I had the Clash queued up as, you know, some of our music for Know Your Rights from those guys. So let's get back into this and the public service announcement.
This is a public service announcement.
I know I'm redoing it, but I have to. This also goes out to Tyler Gore, college buddy. Know your rights. Oh, man. So the reason I'm saying this is because our rights are clearly in great jeopardy now. So I was talking about the NDAA, and if you missed the beginning of the program, I'll put it out as a podcast. But I want to get into other areas where you can see if you start to look at it, you say to yourself, well, you know what? I don't really have rights here either. How about the right to exchange something that is valuable to you for goods or services that is not barter and is not United States currency, the dollar? Now, you've got Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is a great alternative, although I believe Bitcoin's future might be limited because there is an infinite number of other cryptocurrencies that can be created to compete with Bitcoin. So even though you can only mine a certain number of bitcoins due to the algorithms that have been built into it, just like many other cryptocurrencies build their algorithms, people can create as many other cryptocurrencies as they want, and that becomes, I believe, problematic. It's not like gold. It's not like silver. A lot of people say that it is, but it's not. So anyway, I think it'll have a little bit of a lifespan, but I think after a while it's going to get a little tricky. However, to get back to the question about freedom, we talked about the NDAA and the patently, amazingly, shockingly, gobsmackingly unconstitutional way that the Obama administration lawyers have worked with lawyers in the Senate and the House to not only create something a number of years ago, the National Defense Authorization Act, which will allow the Congress, without them explicitly lifting the writ of habeas corpus, to detain people and hold them indefinitely without evidence being brought against them, which is what they're doing to the guys in Gitmo, and that is unconstitutional as well. You don't have to be an American citizen to have the protection of the United States Constitution. The Constitution is a set of rules about what the government can and cannot do. It's not what the government can and cannot do to an American citizen. It's, can the government do X, Y, or Z? This is what it can do. This is what it can't do. And I wish Rand Paul, who has spoken very well about drone strikes against Americans, would expand his perception and recognize that drone strikes against anybody are unconstitutional if the war has not been declared, and it has not. Now, as an anarchist, I could go beyond that and say, I don't want to force my neighbor to pay for a war, even, to conduct a war with a capital W. But that's a different discussion for a different time on a more theoretical level to get deeper into the philosophy of liberty and leaving my neighbor alone. And that opens up questions about clan and tribalism and things like that that can be addressed later on by looking at things like Ireland and Iceland and stuff back in history. It's very interesting, too, to me. And in fact, in ancient Persia, money was created privately. That's something I'm going to be discussing. It was created through tribes and clans working, coming up with gold and things of exchange that were valuable. And it wasn't done by government, which is very important. I'm going to be putting that in some videos I'll be producing for the Liberty Conspiracy, about 10-minute long segments that I hope to make almost like Cosmos for free markets. Okay, so we talked about NDAA. Now let's talk about the freedom of you to be able to use your money. What money? Does it have to be the dollar? Well, if you use something that the government does not approve, they'll throw you in jail. So this is another reflection of whether or not you are truly free. And one of the big mistakes that the so-called Tea Party movement makes is they protest the Federal Reserve. Very good. But they say the Federal Reserve isn't even a government agency. How can they be creating the money? The point is you want zero association between anybody who issues the currency that you use and the government. You don't want to be forced to have to use any currency. Right now, think about it. You are forced to use the dollar unless you can skirt around it and try Bitcoin. And if you make something that is different, let's say, the Liberty Dollar or something like that, they're going to go after you. If it's a physical thing. They have. They took Bernard von Nuthaus. They took his silver. I mean, millions of dollars worth of silver gone a few years ago. And he wasn't claiming it was a dollar bill, but they charged him with counterfeiting. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Federal Reserve issuing things through digital manipulation or it's the United States Treasury. They will print up more to be able to spend more. And the more that they print, the less buying power every one of the other units that's out there has to be able to bid on the goods that are out there. So when we return, I'm going to tell you about an article that was in Yahoo News that is a great example of how so many people who write about economics have no concept. Believe me, they don't know what they're talking about. It would behoove all sorts of reporters to actually get a clue, even the semblance of a clue, about economics. We'll tell you about their claims about higher prices for food when we return. Continuing Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network, Gardner Goldsmith and you, the beat, there we go, little Killing Joke, love that song, War Dance. If you want to get a great CD by Killing Joke, check out their Gathering, the 25th anniversary disc, really, really cool. And I'm just over on Twitter right now. I'm looking at a recent tweet 9 minutes ago from George Takei, whom I met probably maybe 1980. What a nice guy, man. What a super cool guy. I got a picture of him. It was a convention with him and Tom Baker. Imagine. How cool was that? Got to meet them both. Both of those guys, super, super nice guys. Tom Baker and I bonded on our curly hair. And George Takei and I talked about running and how he wanted to get a chance to run through Boston because he was a runner. Just really, really cool. And he has that voice. He does have that voice of the, oh, my. It's just, what a nice guy, man. So anyway, George Takei, if you don't follow him on Twitter, man, he's got a great picture on Twitter. Really cool. It's an old Star Trek like blanket or something like that. It looks awesome. Like, I remember those. So, okay, welcome back to the show. I want to get back into the issue I was discussing, which was the freedom to be able to use money that the government doesn't force you to use. The very currency. Oh, look, we have a theme. what song is this? I can't even. I wonder what this is. I don't know. That bass, it sounds familiar. You think the guitar will have some tremolo on it? I didn't. What? Who could this be? I don't know, man. It's just messed up. By the way, it's a really good, I think it's Biography Channel special on Pink Floyd. Excellent show they had on last week. Loved it. Oh, what's this?
Money!
Yeah, baby. Okay. All right, so. There is an article that I think shows us, or at least shows me and a number of other folks who are into, you know, free market economics and so on. And by the way, I'm really, really into economics, like hardcore subjective marginal utility stuff. And if you understand the connection that it has to human action, how it is just a reflection of your neighbor, it's not dry anymore. It's a manifestation of leaving your neighbor alone to be able to make decisions for what he or she believes is best for him or her without some sort of arbitrary state coercion. And that sort of thing actually brings about really great progress because the people who supply things to the customers are competing with each other and they'll try to do their best to please the customers. And it is a trial and error process. But through trial and error and reputation, the good rise, the bad fall, companies do better because they serve customers well, and companies do worse when they don't. The same thing could happen with money. Ron Paul has said, he said, look, I don't want to just abolish the Fed. How about this? How about we just allow private banks to issue their own currency and no longer have them getting money from the Federal Reserve? They would have to have something that would back their little denominations, these slips of paper, whatever they might be. that if people went in and said, hey, I deposited some money, I want to be able to get some money out, I want all my money, they would have to have reserves of whatever this valuable stuff was, whether it was oil or gold or silver or pearls or whatever it is that people value. You know, Star Trek blankets. I don't know. Something that people value. So this concept came about through trial and error. As I mentioned, even in ancient Persia, the earliest tribes in Persia developed money on their own to exchange along some of the spice routes. That, I mean, it was way, way, way before the real spice routes came around. But they were trading even across into the east. And why? Because they wanted to be able to get things that maybe other people had, maybe natural resources or skills might have been different. And they said, you know what? We could concentrate on doing this. We can do this and then sell our surplus. And then we can get some of their surplus. Oh, this is cool. And it happens on an individual basis. I could concentrate on this. I could make a surplus. That other person does this. And I could outsource and no longer have to do what I am not good at. And that person could do what he or she is good at. And then we could trade. But when you get to third and fourth and fifth person bartering, it becomes difficult. It's like, well, I want that pair of shoes, but the cobbler doesn't really want what I have to offer, so I have to go to somebody else to see if they want what I have to offer, and then maybe I can bring it back to that guy. So over time, things that are sort of common to the interests of people are revealed through their trial and error. It's not directed by anybody. It's not directed by a government agency, and up rises money. Money. I mean, this is like early Neolithic, early times. Like, it comes about. So here is a story that shows you how a writer on economics, for Reuters in this case, doesn't know what he's doing. And it shows you how little effort they put into things and how they accept the arguments of the government. And I was in Washington, D.C. I covered it for a summer in 1989 as an intern down there. And I know the way some of these reporters, not all, they just lap this stuff up. They get the little press release and they write their articles. They don't check stuff out. They have no depth of knowledge. And you sit there and you say, wow, man, how can you do this? You're just a conduit and an amplifier for what those politicians are saying. Here is his story. Here's the headline. Headline, USDA warns of sticker shock on U.S. beef as grilling season starts, by Ross Krasny for Reuters. Dateline Washington, the Department of Agriculture, which should not exist, by the way, has warned of sticker shock facing home chefs on the eve of Memorial Day holiday weekend and the unofficial start of the U.S. summer grilling season. Let's go to the newsreel footage. The agency said conditions in California could have, quote, large and lasting effects on U.S. fruit, vegetable, dairy, and egg prices, end quote. As the most populous U.S. state struggles through what officials are calling a catastrophic drought. Okay, here is the last bit. And then I'll tell you just, you know, you probably know what I did, because you would probably do the same thing. The next bit says the Consumer Price Index, CPI, for U.S. beef and veal is up almost 10% so far in 2014, reflecting the fastest increase in retail beef prices since the end of 2003. Prices, even after adjusting for inflation, are at record highs. Okay, we need to stop there. First off, let's stop at the end of that paragraph. Adjusting for inflation. The CPI does not include food or gas in it. They pulled those out a number of years ago. So the inflation numbers are lower. Now, what they term inflation is not really the inflation. What they term inflation are the prices rising, the rising prices, the price increases. That's what they term inflation. Inflation, to anybody who understands economics, is not that. Inflation is the inflation of the money supply, which, as I mentioned, drives down the buying power of every unit of money that is out there, and makes them have to collect more, makes people have to collect more to buy what they wanted before. It'll take more of your money. It's like you go into a bidding place for some sort of an auction. You know what you want to spend on that particular thing that's up at auction. And then all of a sudden, outside, the government gives a whole bunch of people money, and then they enter the room. What's going to happen to the price of that item? It's going to go up, which means that the buying power of what you had now has less power. Now, all you have to do, if you take 15 seconds, which apparently Ross Krasny did not do, is think to yourself, a 10% increase over about 4.5 months, 5 months. That's interesting. 10% increase in beef and veal. Let's see now. If it is if it's blamed on the drought in California, which is really silly. Like, oh, drought in California, prices go up 10%. Well, how much could California really affect the prices? How much does California, the state, how many beef suppliers are there? What percentage of beef is supplied by California beef suppliers and veal suppliers? Literally. I mean, you know, 2 seconds. 2% of the United States beef supply comes from California. So how do you get a 10% increase when only part of the 2% has been affected? You don't, because of the drought, is what they say. They say it's the drought. No, it's inflation. We'll return.